Everyone here this morning who has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior has been individually redeemed. Your eternal destiny is secure, and you are on your way to heaven. Nobody can get saved for you. You have to get saved for yourself. Having a mother over there where Jesus is doesn't do much for you. You must come to Christ on your own. But when you are saved individually, you are saved into community. That is, your salvation, which guarantees your spot in heaven, has placed you into a bigger environment through which God wants to express himself. Just as a baby born into a family enters into something bigger than himself or herself, we call it a family. So it is when a baby is born into the kingdom of God. They are not born in isolation. They are born into community. And that community is called the family of God. It is a transfer out of a evil kingdom into a righteous one. It's like moving from Las Vegas to Jerusalem. When you are not in Christ, your life is in Sin City. Even if you're a good resident living there, because that is the realm. Once you come to faith in Christ, you move to the holy city. You become part of the kingdom of God and are made part of the family of God. We're going to do over the next few weeks a number of messages coming from a theme, the church which God blesses. We want to be a blessed church, don't we? Collectively, we want to be blessed, but individually, we also want to be blessed. If you want to receive all that God has for you and for us, then the first thing you need to know about the church that God blesses is that it is a unified church. All of us have seen family chaos. Husbands and wives who fight all the time, parents and children who are in conflict all the time. It's hard to be happy going home to a chaotic family. Make you want to stay out all night long. But on the other hand, it's nothing like going home to a unified family, where you know no matter how bad and beat up you are out here, click, click, there's no place like home. A place where there's peace, tranquility, and harmony. There's no place like that. For what lies before us as a church family, if we expect to see God collectively as well as individually, we have to be unified. But that raises a question. What is unity? And how does it work? This is good for your family life, although we're specifically speaking for the church. We want to look at a number of passages read in your scripture. We want to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Where Paul speaks to the church of Corinth and shares with them God's desire. He says, verse 12, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks or slave or free, we all have been made to drink from one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Obviously, the key word is one, because you see, the word unity means one. Unity refers to oneness. Now, don't misunderstand the definition. Unity refers to oneness, but it doesn't refer to sameness. Must make the distinction. A lot of husbands and wives try to spend an inordinate amount of time changing one another. Well, trust me, if both of you were the same, one of you would be unnecessary. The biggest waste of time is trying to change somebody unless it's something wrong, unless it's a sin or something that's wrong. But the fact that it is different, it's supposed to be. Many people say, we can't be one because we're so different. If you weren't different, you couldn't be one. You could be the same, but you couldn't be one. Unity is simply uniqueness in harmony. It is not everybody being the same. It is all the differences moving toward a common goal. The reason why there is so much division in families, in churches, is because folks are focusing on the wrong thing. Rather than relating to the common goal, they're relating to the differences of the people attempting to meet those goals. Suppose on a football team everybody was a quarterback. There'd be nobody to catch the ball. Everybody was a receiver. There'd be no one to throw the ball. Everybody was a running back. There'd be nobody to block. The thing that makes a team are different positions, but there's one thing in common among the different positions, and that is that goal line. And this play designed to get us to that goal. Let me say something to the men. One of the reasons, men, that we have conflict in our home is that often we as men have not set forth the goal line for the family. And when the quarterback doesn't call a play because he don't know the play, then everybody in the family gonna be running all over the field. You got this kid going here, this kid going, wife going there, you going there, and you saying that's too much chaos in this house. And everybody looking at you saying, quarterback, we're waiting for a play. It is the job of a father in a family to set the goal line. This is the goal. This is where we are going. This is where we are headed. This is where the uprights are. Now, these are the plays we're going to run. And this is how everybody will contribute to the play. Don't blame the team if the quarterback is not in the huddle. Even so, in the family of God, unity is commonness of purpose. Our orchestra plays. Our orchestra is made up of different instruments. Everybody's not playing the same instrument, nor is everybody playing the same part, but they ought to be playing the same tune. They ought to be on the same music page. There ought not to be unclarity about what the song is we're playing today. Paul says that unity is in the body, where the body is one, made up of many members. This is Paul's major analogy for the church. The church is called the body of Christ, coming off of an understanding of our physical frame. If all of us were a head, there would be no walking. If all of us were legs, there would be no grabbing. It is the multifaceted nature of the body and all of its parts working in harmony. Suppose the head, the leader, the brain said, let's go to the parking lot, but the legs said, I don't feel like it. Well, now we got a conflict and we need a doctor. Because if the head is correct in where it wants to go, that all the other body parts ought to rally around getting to the destination. It is oneness, not sameness. In the Olympics, the players come, they have different events that they're going to participate in, but one thing is always true, they're all representing the same nation. And when an Olympian wins an event, they don't play his favorite tune. They don't say, gold medalist, what's your favorite song so we can play it? They play the national anthem of the country that they represent because they are part of something bigger. When you got saved, you are part of something bigger. It's called the Church of Jesus Christ. One of the big problems in families is single people get married still trying to be single. They haven't grown up to discover you're part of something bigger. This isn't about you alone anymore. It's about us, we, y'all. It is a collective matter. And so the issue of unity is uniqueness, not everybody being the same. That's why he makes the statement in verse 13, Jews, Greeks, slaves, and free. Different people, different races, different cultures, different classes, different backgrounds. But once you come into the family of God, your uniqueness and difference is to plug in to something bigger. In order that there may be the one overarching goal for which we are appointed. You ever seen a marching band where one person is marching out of step? That's a distraction. You ever listen to a group sing and one person is out of tune? That's a distraction. Talking about, I want to be a soloist and you in the choir. Unless you called out to be a soloist, you're supposed to be singing in harmony, not distracting from the bigger picture. The church that God blesses, as we'll see in a moment, is the church that is unified, where there is uniqueness operating in harmony. Not cookie cutter Christians who just punch out everybody being the same. There are many members, he says, there are one body. So what causes this thing to be one when you've got so many differences? We've got all kinds of differences in the family of Oak Cliff because every church is supposed to manifest this concept of unity. We have people with different backgrounds, different heritages, different histories, different economic statuses. What will bring things together so that chaos doesn't rule? I've got my ideas, you've got your ideas. What's gonna keep us on the same page? It's amazing when we talk to people, and especially marriage, and marriage, of course, is the little family. The church is the bigger family, where people spend time fighting over differences. The question is, how do you pull that together? Somebody tell me what the problem is with oil and water. They'll mix. They'll mix. They have different natures. And you can't mix them. You can stare them till you blue in the face. They even look like they're coming together for a while. Soon as you take your hand out of it, zoop. They will separate because they cannot mix. Absolutely cannot mix. They're of different natures. Many couples feel that we can't make it. We're too different. He stays up late. I go to bed early. He likes hot. I like cold. He ugly. I'm pretty. Yes, differences. Always in conflict. What is going to overrule that? Well, let me ask the question again. Can oil and water mix? I didn't hear nobody. Can oil and water mix? Okay, you're incorrect. Whenever I ask you a question like that, I'm setting you up. So assume the opposite to what you're thinking, all right? The correct statement is, oil and water can't mix unless it has an emulsifier. Emulsifiers are designed to bridge the gap between the inability of oil and water to coagulate. Take that word home and throw it on somebody this week. Coagulate. When I eat a sandwich, I'm a mayonnaise kind of guy. I don't like mustard on my sandwiches. I like mayonnaise. And anybody knows how to eats mayonnaise, not mustard. The problem is, mayonnaise is made up of oil and water. How do you get oil that is in mayonnaise, which is why mayonnaise is fattening, and water to work together to form this thick, pasty subject that we put on sandwiches? The reason why mayonnaise is thick and sturdy and doesn't separate, even though there is a mixture in mayonnaise of oil and water, is that they have been emulsified by egg. You see, eggs are put into mayonnaise not merely for the purpose of the taste, but for the purpose of keeping oil and water hanging out together. See, when oil and water get in the same place, it is natural for them to go in opposite directions until you introduce an egg. An egg reaches out to oil and reaches out to water and says, you can't hang out with each other, but if you both hang out with me, we'll all hang out in this jar. It is called emulsification, where the egg pulls the two that are separate together so that they are able to function. That is why Paul says that oneness can only be achieved in the Spirit. He says in verse 4, the same Spirit. In verse 5, the same Lord. In verse 6, the same God. He says in verse 8, the same Spirit. He says in verse 9, the same Spirit. He says in verse 11, the same Spirit. He says in verse 14, one Spirit. You get the impression that might be just a tad important? He calls the unity of the church the unity of the Spirit. It has dawned on me what the problem is. We're trying to create unity in the flesh that can only be achieved by unity in the Spirit. In other words, we're trying to mix oil and water without an emulsifier. Without the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit pulling together that which normally would be in conflict. The idea that Jews and Gentiles could go to the same church was inconceivable in the Bible. It was inconceivable. There was no possible thought you could get these different people to sit down. The idea that blacks and whites and Hispanics could be in the presence of God together when they're different backgrounds, different histories, different heritages. Everything speaks against that until the Spirit shows up. So then, why have we not been able to be unified cross-racially, cross-culturally? Why have we not been able to unify even within the same race? Why do churches split and people fight? Why do families break up? There is an absence of the Spirit. It just, as I studied this, I said, whoa, the problem is that the different members aren't operating on the same Spirit. He is the emulsifier, and folks want to know why this oil and water can't mix. There's no Spirit. Oh, there may be some religion, and there may be some church attendance, but there's no Holy Ghost. See, when you want to get nasty with it, you say Holy Ghost. There is an absence of the work of the Spirit. Turn your Bibles now as we continue this theme to Ephesians 4. Verse 3, be diligent to preserve the unity of what? Of the Spirit. Y'all know if you've been listening to me for the last couple of years, I'm on a Spirit kick, so to speak. Not in opposition to the Word, but in partnership with the Word, of course. Because it's showing up everywhere. I'm seeing it places that I'm sure I've read it before, but never saw it before. He says, I want you to preserve the Spirit's unity, not your unity. It's the Holy Spirit's unity. It is the unity fostered by the Spirit of God. In fact, hold your finger here. I'm going to come back here. Turn your Bible. We're going to do a little Bible study today. It's okay if we do a little Bible study. Can we do a little Bible study at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship? If you got your Bible, hold up your Bible. Let me see your Bible. Okay? Okay, put your Bible down. If you don't have your Bible, hold up your hand. If you're lying, stand up. Now watch this, because this is deep. We're getting deep. See, this is, you just heard the introduction. It's getting deep. John 17, Jesus is praying to his Father. Jesus is praying to his Father. Look at what he says. Verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself that they themselves also may be sanctified in the truth. I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through the word. So all the Christians. That they all may be what? One. Even as thou, Father, art in me, I in thee, as we are one. That they also may be in us, that they might be connected with us. That the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given to them that they may be one just as we are one. Now verse 23. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfected in what? Perfected in what? Perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst set me and dost love them even as thou dost love me. Now that's deep. Because Jesus is saying, Father, you and I are tight. We are so tight, Father, that there is nothing I have asked you that you haven't done for me. Did you know that there's only one time God ever said no to Jesus? the cross. Why? Because that was a sin issue. He bore our sins, so he couldn't let that cup pass from him. That is the only time in Jesus' 33 years of life that God ever said no to him. That means every other time that they prayed, that Jesus prayed, the Father was delighted to respond to the Son. Jesus says that's the kind of relationship you and I have. Now, Father, what I would like for you to do is I would like for you to bring my children in on what we have. I want you to extend to them what you and I have so that this same kind of tightness, closeness, power, and uniqueness can be all put together so that the same response you give to me, you give to them. And when they get what you and I have, then the world out there will know I'm real. The way they will know I'm real is you doing for them what you would do for me. But the only reason, watch this, that you do it for me is because we are one. Now, if I'm the devil, and I know that if you ever become one, God is going to take you and treat you like he treats his son, then guess what I'm going to spend my time doing? Causing chaos, fights, fusses, cusses, divisions. I'm going to start mess, keep mess going on, because I know if you're not one, if you're divided, then God is not going to relate to you like he relates to Jesus. So instead of hearing yes, 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 you either go hear no, 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 or nothing. Have you ever wondered why, as a couple, God's not answering your family prayers? Have you ever wondered why your devotion time is going nowhere? Because when God looks into your home, he sees division. And you have to understand something about God. He does not work where there is division. He only works where there is oneness. You've got to be going in the same direction in concert with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God links you to the Son of God. And the Son of God links you to the Father so that the Father responds to his church because his church is one. Not the same, but moving in the Spirit's direction. That's why we want to know what the Spirit has to say to the church. Because whatever the Spirit says, God's going to okay. You thought your division at home was strictly based on your personality? No, it's Satan using the differences in your personality to keep you from the Spirit's unity. Because if you ever hook up with the Spirit, the Father must respond. Because you are one. And so, Satan keeps stuff going. Paul says in Romans 16, he says in Romans 16, I'm turning, but he says, look out for those who cause division in your midst. He says, Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, he says, and identify them. Watch out for folks staring mess up. Because what they are doing is cutting off the divine supply. For example, husbands, do you know the Bible says, if a husband is divided from his wife, 1 Peter 3:7, tell the husband not to pray because God's not listening. Oh. Oh. That's why I've been praying for years and nothing happening. Because if there is division, God steps back. Because God can only operate in unity because that is his nature. And he cannot go against himself. So the church that God blesses is the church that's on the same Holy Ghost page. That's moving in concert with the Spirit of God. Your church operates in sync because different cells in different parts of the body are functioning on the same agenda. Now, there is a disease where cells don't want to go with the program. It's called cancer. I hope you understand, in a very simple fashion, that's what cancer is. Cells that don't want to go with the program. So what these cells do is they shoot off to start their own program, which would be fine if they left your body to do it. But no. These cells want to make themselves independent, but in your body. So they split off and begin to run their own show. The head says, we're going this way. But this cell says, nah, I ain't going there. But I ain't leaving the church either. I'm going to stay right here and do my own thing. So what this cell does that doesn't want to go with the program, guess what it does? It don't want to be by itself either. It wants to reproduce after its kind. So what this cell does is it reproduces to get more like it. Picks up the telephone and say, well, don't you want to hang out with me? Isn't that what Lucifer did? He got the angels to join in to his cancerous rebellion against God. So now the cell reproduces and gets a little bigger. So now we got a lump. So now this independent cell has accumulated a few voices around it that's listening to its rebellion. And then the cells come up with a strategy. It's called metastasizing. That's where they break off and infiltrate other areas of your body. Now, let me explain something about cancer that's bad news. Cancer only has one goal, and that is to take over. Cancer only has one goal, to shut you down. So the minute the doctors discover you have cancer, what they do is put you in chemotherapy or radiation in order to burn out this thing that is messing with the unity of your body. Because if you leave it unaddressed, if you leave it undealt with, the cancer will always win. You must attack it radically and cut it off. Paul says in Romans 16, watch out for people in the church who turn the body of Christ into a personal platform that has nothing to do with where the Spirit is going. And the Spirit is always going in concert with the leadership if it is based on the Word of God. That's always where the Spirit is going. Numbers 11, the Bible says, and the Spirit came upon Moses, and Moses had the mind of God. And then the Bible says, and the Spirit went from Moses out to the elders. And then the Bible says, and the Spirit went from the elders out to the congregation so that all of Israel was on the same page. And that is why we must together enter into God's presence so that God can tell us all what he is up to, or at least confirm what he is up to. Let me put it another way. It is in the unity of the church that you get to see how powerful God really is. Let me put it another way. There are some things God is not going to do for you individually if it's not connected to the body. You have to understand that. Some things God is going to do for you just because you are Christian. Some things. But there are other things God is only going to do to you if he can do it through you. And if God cannot correlate what you're asking him to do for you to how he can use you in the unity of the body, what? Because he says back to Ephesians 4, he wants to equip the saints, verse 12, for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. If God can't work through you for the unity and the building up of the body, why should he help you become an independent cell? So that we're not tossed to and fro, he says in verse 14, by every wind of doctrine, but speaking the truth in love, we ought to grow up in all aspects unto him. He is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. God is not only concerned about you. When you're parents and you have more than one child, You have to have to say this. You're not the only one living here. You're not an only child. And this is a family. You know the difference between a laser and a spotlight is the concentration of the photons, that is the particles of light. A laser can burn through steel. And that is because all these protons are connected together in a very narrow pointed structure, and they can punch a hole in a piece of steel. You have never seen a spotlight punch a hole in anything. All a spotlight can do is show up. You know why? Because the photons in a spotlight are all spread out. They're not concentrated, so there is no power. And this explains the phenomenon in the book of Acts. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Watch this now. People read this, but they miss it. In verse 41, 3,000 people get saved. 3,000 people become Christians. But before then, 120 people gathered together in the upper room. God says, don't do anything till the Spirit comes, right? So they all got in God's presence, worship, prayer, and the Spirit showed up. When the Spirit showed up, 3,000 people. Now we've gone from 120, and this is all in one day, to 3,000 people according to verse 41. Now, from verse 41 to verse 47, notice all the plural language used. They devoted, verse 42, themselves. Verse 43, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Verse 44, they were together and had all things in common. Verse 45, sharing them with anyone as they might have need. Verse 46, one mind. The end of verse 46, meals together. You get all that? Plural harmony? One mind, together. They were all on the same page. And the Bible says when the Spirit of God showed up and unified the church, verse 43, many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. In other words, God was showing off and showing out because they came together as lasers and not merely as spotlights. When that much power, when that much Holy Ghost, see, when you come to church, your Holy Ghost comes with you. When I come to church, my Holy Ghost comes with me. And when all that much Holy Ghost gets concentrated in the same place, at the same time, in the same space, calling on God about the same thing, then you get a laser and not a spotlight. You get God pinpointing. Then you can pray real specific. Because now it's all of the Holy Ghost up in this room pointing at the same problem. You say, well, is it supposed to work that way? Absolutely, absolutely it is, because isn't it what this says in chapter 4 of Acts? Look at what it says in chapter 4 of Acts. They were undergoing trials and they were undergoing tribulations and they were undergoing difficulty. Verse 24 says, when they heard the threats, they said, oh God, with one accord, with one accord. In other words, everybody praying about the same thing. And when they were all praying about the same thing, notice how much the word, the Holy Spirit, shows up in the prayer. The Holy Spirit shows up in the prayer. And then they come to their request in verse 29. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservant may speak thy word with all confidence. While thou dost extend thy hand to heal, signs and wonders take place through the name of the holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed in one accord, the place where they had gathered together, the place where they had gathered high, the place where they had gathered high, we're talking about corporate prayer now, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God in boldness. I like verse 31 because it said the building shook. There was so much Holy Ghost concentrated power packed up when the people came before God collectively that the building couldn't even take that much Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, and God started doing all kind of things, and he flipped over what they were facing. You know how Peter got delivered from prison in the book of Acts? It says the church prayed. Now, I'm sure Peter prayed. Peter's in prison, he praying, he's saying, God, now I'm in prison, I need you to deliver me. But that wasn't enough Holy Ghost power. It says when the church came together to pray, and it became Holy Ghost concentrate, there was unity in the spirit. The Bible says there was an earthquake in the jail. When there was unity in the spirit, there was an earthquake in the jail. You try to break one stick, you may be able to do it. You get a whole bunch, a bundle together, you're not breaking anything. Because there's too much unity. Because of the power in unity. So, how does this unity function? In Ephesians 4:11, he says how this unity functions, or 4:12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry to the building up of the body of Christ. We saw it in verse 16, that which every joint supplies. Everybody playing a vital role using their spiritual gift. He says, everybody contributed to making the unity work. Everybody's got a job to do. Everybody plays a part. A lot of folk think church is a cruise ship. You know, a cruise ship, you go on a cruise, you go cruising. Anybody ever been cruising? That's nice. That's my favorite vacation. Give me a cruise ship. Okay? I love the cruise. You know what? Them people wait on you. Them people wait on you. You eat when you want to eat. You can go out and eat. They'll have it ready for you. They bring it to your cabin. They clean your room for you. I mean, them people wait on you. They are paid to wait on you. You be cruising. A lot of folk think church is a cruise ship. Let me just cruise on into the sanctuary. Let the preacher wait on me with the sermon. Let the choir wait on me with the song. Let the ministries wait on me with the ministries. You are there to serve me. And so these people sit, soak, and sour. Church pimps. You know what a pimp is. A pimp gets all the benefit but doesn't do any of the work. It's a church leech. A leech sucks your blood and gives you nothing in return. That's a cruise ship mentality. The church is not supposed to be a cruise ship. It's supposed to be a battleship. On a battleship, everybody got a part to play because you're in a war. And everybody's concerned about living, and everybody's concerned about surviving. They're not just concerned about receiving. You're walking down the street and you stump your toe. Ow, ow, you hurt your toe. When you hurt your toe, the rest of the body goes crazy. First of all, the nerves go to work to send a message up to the brain. We got a problem down here. The brain is now alerted to a problem. The brain then tells the left hand to go down to the right toe and grab it. Then the brain tells the left leg, get ready, because all this weight is coming your way. Then the brain tells the mouth to let everybody else know that you didn't stump your toe. The whole body goes into reaction. Because the body isn't there to cruise, the body is there to function so that if one hurts, all hurt. If one cry, all cry. That we are part of a unified family that sees the power and presence of God. Take the deacon's fund. Pastor Hawkins, I assigned him the responsibility of taking care of the deacon's fund, you know. And we love helping people, members who are in a predicament when it's appropriate. And you know, people come and say, give me. You a church, give me. Then they get mad. We ask them, what ministry are you in? Oh, and then they come up with some name. What they don't know is we check that out. We go and say, Deacon so-and-so, John Doe says he's in your ministry serving. We ain't seen John Doe in a year. John Doe has never given his time, energy, or attention. Well, you're not serving in a ministry, so you're saying, come and serve me because I got this need, when there is no service from you. Now, if you turn them down, they get mad. They go tell other churches, you know, that church, they don't care about you over there, you know. It's like the guy who went and said, went to this church and said, I need some financial help. Pastor said, oh, okay, what church you go to? He says, well, I'm part of the invisible church. I'm part of the body of Christ universally. You know, I don't have a local church. I'm just part of the invisible church. Pastor reached his pocket and said, well, here's some invisible money. No. It's a two-way street. Sure, you should receive as you give. I told you this before. I come home when I was playing football, and I come home from playing football after 2 days, and I come in the house, and you after 2 days, you know, in the hot sun, you tired. So I come in, and I didn't want my mama to ask me to do nothing. So I come in, and I'd say with a loud voice, oh boy, I'm so tired, I think I'm going upstairs and rest. My mother said, boy, you better get your big ugly self up in this kitchen and do these dishes or do this floor. And I said, Mama, you don't understand. I'm tired. She said, tired? Did you just tell me, boy, you were tired? Let me explain something, boy. If tiredness were a criteria of function, your breakfast wouldn't be cooked. Your lunch wouldn't be made. Your clothes wouldn't be clean. Boy, let me explain something. If tiredness were a criteria of function, I'd have gotten rid of you the day after you were born. In other words, you can't receive from the family and not function in the family. You can't say, feed me, clothe me, help me, encourage me, strengthen me, minister to me, but expect nothing from me. Because that's not how the Spirit works. And let me tell you, if you are doing it, if you are only on the receiving end, you come here every week, you're only on the receiving end, but you're not creating to preserve the unity of the church, you're not contributing, then when you ask God to come through for you, he's not listening. Because you're not interested in his interest. You're only interested in your interest, which means you're not helping the unity, you're dividing the unity, and that's why a lot of you are not getting your prayers answered. Because God says, I have no vested interest in your request. Because your request is only considering you and not considering the family I birthed you into. So this is no small issue. But let me just show you Colossians 3. Do not lie to one another, verse 9 says, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and you've put on the new self that's being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one that created it, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and freeman, but Christ is all in all. In other words, those differences you that matter out in the street don't matter in here. All right? When you come into the house of God, the only thing that matters is Jesus Christ, he says. Christ is all in all. Christ is the key. So what? So he says in verse 14, here it is. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of what? Of unity. Unity is oneness of purpose. What will keep us unified? The Spirit of God. How do we maintain that? He says, love. Love is a self-sacrificing commitment to another to do the will of God even at your own expense. Love is contagious. Like colds, it affects others. Love is what you do to benefit others as opposed to simply what you do to benefit yourself. God says, if you do not love your brother whom you have seen, then what are you talking about praising and loving God whom you've never seen in all your life? If you don't love the family of God, God says, you don't love me. Okay, I don't know if you heard that. If you don't love the family of God, God says, you don't love me. I don't care how much you shout. I don't care how much you clap. I don't care how much you wave. I don't care how much you raise your hand. I don't care how much you jump up and down. If the family of God does not matter to you, I don't matter to you. Don't tell me you love me and don't love the family of God. That doesn't mean like, and I don't mean you have to like them. See, like and love are two different things. Like is how you feel about a situation. I like him, I don't like him. You can like who you want to like and not like who you don't want to like. Loving is not a choice. Loving means even if I don't like you, when it comes to how I relate to you, I'm going to do what God tells me to do in relationship to you. That's love, even when there is no like. A white person may say, well, I don't like black people. Fine, as long as you love me. A black person, I don't like white people. That's fine as long as you love them. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Love is able to overrule. And God will relate to love because love keeps things close. It's the bond. It's the knot that keeps the bundle of unity together. If you miss corporate unity, you lose individual blessing. Let me say it again. If there is no corporate understanding of the unity that God has called you into when he saved you and placed you into this body, which is the body you're responsible for, if you're only here to receive, nothing wrong with that, but if it's not combined with what am I contributing to make this church a unified, strong church, if you are a person who's stirring up mess, then what God wants me to tell you this morning is don't bother to have any conversations with him because he's not listening. Many of your prayers are ready to be answered once God knows. You understand you're part of something bigger. One day I went and told on my brother. I said, ooh, I'm a tell. I went and told on my brother, and my father spanked me. And I'm saying, what? How you gonna spank me? And my father looked at me and said, because what you told, you could have helped fix. But your concern wasn't for your brother to help him. Your concern was to bring pain to your brother. But you need to understand, I love your brother too. And while he stands to be corrected, you could have made this better. May this spanking remind you before you come tell on him to me that he ain't heavy, he's your brother. Keep the unity. This man went to an insane asylum. People were not, the elevators didn't go all the way to the top. Okay? And people were walking around, you know, people were off, okay? And there was this gate with a guard. There were like 500 people outside. And all of them were off in some way. So this visitor went over to the guard. He said, aren't you worried? These people are off. Aren't you worried they're going to rush you one day and overpower you and break out of this place? Oh, he said, no, I'm not worried about that. He said, wait a minute. There are 500 crazy people here. You're not worried that one day they're just going to go off and rush the gate and break out? There's only one of you, 500 of them. He said, it'll never happen. He said, how can you be so sure? He said, simple. Lunatics never unite. And with this much Holy Ghost, with this much God, this much Bible, and this much Jesus, we got to be crazy not to come together as the family of God, to hear from the voice of God, that we might see the power of God as we've never seen it before.
This CD message, The Unified Church, is given to you with compliments from Dr. Tony Evans and the Urban Alternative Ministry. If this message has been a blessing to you, we would encourage you to purchase the entire 12-part series for your personal or ministry library. Also, please note that if you purchase the entire series, this message is also included as part of that series, and we encourage you to pass this complimentary copy on to a friend. If we can be of further help, please contact us at 1-800-800-3222 or log on to our website at tonyevans.org. Thank you.